Welcome to day 299 of my Everyday Bible. This is Rita Langland, your host from Hidden with Christ Ministries, and today we are reading from the Gospel of Luke. We will cover chapters 12 and 13, reading from the New American Standard Bible. So beginning today at Luke chapter 12, starting at verse 1. Under these circumstances, after so many thousands of people had gathered together that they were stepping on one another, he began saying to his disciples first of all, "Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. But there is nothing covered up that will not be revealed, and hidden that will not be known. Accordingly, whatever you have said in the dark will be heard in the light, and what you have whispered in the inner rooms will be proclaimed upon the housetops. I say to you, my friends, do not be afraid of those who kill the body, and after that have no more that they can do. But I will warn you whom to fear. Fear the one who, after he has killed, has authority to cast into hell. Yes, I tell you, fear him. Are not 5 sparrows sold for 2 cents? Yet not one of them is forgotten before God. Indeed, the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Do not fear. You are more valuable than many sparrows. And I say to you, everyone who confesses me before men, the Son of Man will confess him also before the angels of God. But he who denies me before men will be denied before the angels of God. And everyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man, it will be forgiven him. But he who blasphemes against the Holy Spirit, it will not be forgiven him. When they bring you before the synagogues and the rulers and the authorities, do not worry about how or what you are to speak in your defense or what you are to say. For the Holy Spirit will teach you in that very hour what you ought to say." Someone in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the family inheritance with me." But he said to him, "Man, who appointed me a judge or arbitrator over you?" Then he said to them, "Beware and be on guard against every form of greed. For not even when one has an abundance does his life consist of his possessions." And he told them a parable, saying, "The land of a rich man was very productive. And he began reasoning to himself, saying, 'What shall I do, since I have no place to store my crops?' Then he said, 'This is what I will do. I will tear down my barns and build larger ones. And there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, you have many goods laid up for many years to come. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'You fool, this very night your soul is required of you. And now who will own what you have prepared?' So is the man who stores up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God." And he said to his disciples, "For this reason I say to you, do not worry about your life as to what you will eat, nor for your body as to what you will put on. For life is more than food, and the body more than clothing. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap. They have no storeroom nor barn, and yet God feeds them. How much more valuable you are than the birds! And which of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life's span? If then you cannot do even a very little thing, why do you worry about other matters? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, but I tell you, not even Solomon, in all his glory, clothed himself like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass in the field, which is alive today, and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, how much more will he clothe you, you men of little faith. And do not seek what you will eat and what you will drink, and do not keep worrying. For all these things the nations of the world eagerly seek, but your Father knows that you need these things. But seek his kingdom, and these things will be added to you. Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has chosen gladly to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to charity. Make yourselves money belts which do not wear out, an unfailing treasure in heaven, where no thief comes near, nor moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Be dressed in readiness and keep your lamps lit. Be like men who are waiting for their master when he returns from the wedding feast, so that they may immediately open the door to him when he comes and knocks. Blessed are those slaves whom the master will find on the alert when he comes. Truly I say to you that he will gird himself to serve and have them recline at the table and will come up and wait on them. Whether he comes in the second watch or even in the third and finds them so, blessed are those slaves. But be sure of this, that if the head of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have allowed his house to be broken into. You too, be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour that you do not expect. Peter said, Lord, are you addressing this parable to us or to everyone else as well? And the Lord said, Who then is the faithful and sensible steward, whom his master will put in charge of his servants to give them their rations at the proper time? Blessed is that slave whom his master finds doing so when he comes. Truly I say to you, he will put him in charge of all his possessions. But if that slave says in his heart, My master will be a long time in coming, and begins to beat the slaves, both men and women, and to eat and drink and get drunk, the master of that slave will come on a day when he does not expect him, and at an hour he does not know, and will cut him in pieces, and assign him a place with the unbelievers. And that slave who knew his master's will and did not get ready or act in accord with his will receive many lashes. But the one who did not know it and committed deeds worthy of a flogging will receive but few. From everyone who has been given much, much will be required, and to whom they entrusted much, of him they will ask all the more. I have come to cast fire upon the earth, and how I wish it were already kindled. But I have a baptism to undergo, and how distressed I am until it is accomplished. Do you suppose that I came to grant peace on earth? I tell you no, but rather division. For from now on, 5 members in one household will be divided, 3 against 2 and 2 against 3. They will be divided, father against son and son against father, mother against daughter and daughter against mother, mother-in-law against daughter-in-law and daughter-in-law against mother-in-law. And he was also saying to the crowds, When you see a cloud rising in the west, immediately you say, A shower is coming. And so it turns out. And when you see a south wind blowing, you say, It will be a hot day. And it turns out that way. You hypocrites, you know how to analyze the appearance of the earth and the sky, but why do you not analyze this present time? And why do you not even on your own initiative judge what is right? For while you are going with your opponent to appear before the magistrate, on your way there, make an effort to settle with him, so that he may not drag you before the judge, and the judge turn you over to the officer, and the officer throw you into prison. I say to you, you will not get out of there till you have paid the very last cent. Chapter 13. Now on the same occasion, there were some present who reported to him about the Galileans, whose blood Pilate had mixed with their sacrifices. And Jesus said to them, Do you suppose that these Galileans were greater sinners than all other Galileans because they suffered this fate? I tell you, no, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Or do you suppose that those 18 on whom the tower in Siloam fell and killed them were worse culprits than all the men who live in Jerusalem? I tell you, no, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. And he began telling them this parable. A man had a fig tree, which had been planted in his vineyard, and he came looking for fruit on it and did not find any. And he said to the vineyard keeper, "Behold, for 3 years I have come looking for fruit on this fig tree without finding any. Cut it down. Why does it even use up the ground?" And he answered and said to him, "Let alone, sir, for this year too, until I dig around and put in fertilizer. And if it bears fruit next year, fine. But if not, cut it down." And he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. And there was a woman who for 18 years had had a sickness caused by a spirit. And she was bent double and could not straighten up at all. When Jesus saw her, he called her over and said to her, "Woman, you are freed from your sickness." And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made erect again and began glorifying God. But the synagogue official, indignant because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath, began saying to the crowd in response, "There are 6 days in which work should be done, so come during them and get healed, and not on the Sabbath day." But the Lord answered him and said, "You hypocrites, does not each of you on the Sabbath untie his ox or his donkey from the stall and lead him away to water him? And this woman, a daughter of Abraham as she is, whom Satan has bound for 18 long years, should she not have been released from this bond on the Sabbath day?" As he said this, all his opponents were being humiliated, and the entire crowd was rejoicing over all the glorious things being done by him. So he was saying, "What is the kingdom of God like, and to what shall I compare it? It is like a mustard seed, which a man took and threw into his garden, and it grew and became a tree, and the birds of the air nestled in its branches." And again he said, "To what shall I compare the kingdom of God? It is like leaven, which a woman took and hid in 3 pecks of flour until it was all leavened." And as he was passing through from one city and village to another, teaching and proceeding on his way to Jerusalem, and someone said to him, "Lord, are there just a few who are being saved?" And he said to them, "Strive to enter through the narrow door, for many, I tell you, will seek to enter and will not be able. Once the head of the house gets up and shuts the door, and you begin to stand outside and knock on the door saying, 'Lord, open up to us,' then he will answer and say to you, 'I do not know where you are from.' Then you will begin to say, 'We ate and drank in your presence, and you taught in our streets.' And he will say, 'I tell you, I do not know where you are from. Depart from me, you all you evildoers.' In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth when you see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, but yourselves being thrown out. And they will come from east and west and from north and south, and will recline at the table in the kingdom of God. And behold, some are last who will be first, and some are first who will be last." Just at that time some Pharisees approached, saying to him, "Go away, leave here, for Herod wants to kill you." And he said to them, "Go and tell that fox, 'Behold, I cast out demons and perform cures today and tomorrow, and the third day I reach my goal. Nevertheless, I must journey on today and tomorrow and the next day, for it cannot be that a prophet would perish outside of Jerusalem.' O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those sent to her, how often I wanted to gather your children together, just as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you would not have it. Behold, your house is left to you desolate, and I say to you, you will not see me until the time comes when you say, Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. This is the end of today's scripture reading. In today's devotional, I want to touch again on a subject that Jesus brings up here in Luke chapter 12. And he says some of the most profound words on the subject of worry and anxiety. And we certainly live in a time when worry and anxiety plague people so intensely, whether it's worry about money or worry about health or worry about the future or worry about children. Worry and anxiety truly are weapons that the devil uses against people to destroy their lives. Worry does destroy. Worry erodes peace. Worry attacks your well-being. And in every possible way, anxiety and worry are enemies of living the abundant life. We know that in the United States, anti-anxiety medication is one of the most prescribed type of drugs by physicians today, and it's only increased over the last decade. Worry and anxiety plague people in our generation, and without God, there is no way to handle it that is healthy or positive. Jesus said in Luke 12:22, For this reason I say to you, do not worry about your life. Those words are powerful. First of all, they're a command. It's a commandment. It's not a suggestion. It's not an option or I think this would be a good idea for your life. Jesus said it in a command form. Do not worry about your life. And that expression there actually means be anxious for nothing. Don't let anything cause you anxiety. Do not be troubled with cares. It also is translated, take no thought for your life. And it doesn't mean be thoughtless. It means don't take a thought that's going to be a troublesome thought, that's going to worry you, that's going to pressure you. Don't take those thoughts. Those thoughts will come to your mind. You may be assaulted by an onrush of thoughts about what will happen tomorrow, how will I get the money, are my children going to be okay, is my health deteriorating. You may just have an onslaught of such thoughts. Certainly the enemy is behind that because God wants you to have peace. And we heard Jesus say in John 10:10 that the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. And if he can steal your peace and steal your well-being and steal your peace of mind, he will do it. And the only way he can do it is by suggesting thoughts for you to take. And then you have the option of taking that thought or casting it down. Someone tries to hand you something and you realize it's a snake, you would cast it down if you had even touched it. You wouldn't hold on to it if it was a poisonous viper. And that's literally what a thought from the enemy that is filled with fear or anxiety is. It's like a poisonous viper Satan's trying to hand you. Would you take it? If you could see it clearly in that way, you would not. You would cast it down. Well, imagine that same scene if what Satan's trying to hand you is a thought that is filled with worry, anxiety about tomorrow, about today, about the future, about your circumstances. And Jesus is saying, take no thought that's filled with care, anxiety, worry, or concern. One wise person once said that worry does not empty tomorrow of its sorrow. So it has no point. It doesn't help you make tomorrow better. It does not empty tomorrow of sorrow, but it does empty today of its strength. So yeah, when you allow worry, anxiety, fearful thoughts to come into your mind and have a place to land and then turn them over and over in your mind, it's quite literally emptying today of its strength for you. God wants you to walk in a strong way, walk in peace, walk in perfect confidence that God is your God and He is going to care for you and there is nothing you need to fear. Jesus said, do not worry about your life. And then He goes on and says, life is more than food, the body more than clothing. Look at the birds God provides for them. Aren't you worth more than birds? Most assuredly you are. And God knows that you need natural things. He talks about clothing in this passage of scripture. He talks about food. He's talking about the natural things that we need in life. In our society, we need money. We have to pay for transportation or pay for electricity, pay for housing. God knows you need all these things. But then He doesn't just leave it there by saying, no, just don't worry about anything. He says these wise words. Your Father knows that you need these things, but seek His kingdom. Seek first God's kingdom, God's ways, God's dominion over every area of your life. And then these things, referring back to those natural things that every human being needs, food, clothing, shelter, transportation, these things will be added to you. Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has chosen gladly to give you the kingdom. God says that if we will put our focus on His kingdom, it means the dominion. Kingdom means dominion of the king, the area that God has dominion over, which is all of the earth, truthfully, but His dominion reigns in the lives of those who love and honor and serve Him. So if you'll let kingdom principles, God's ways, have dominion in your life, and you will walk in love toward every single person, and you will walk by faith, trusting God implicitly for all your needs, you will have all the things you need added to you. That's God's kingdom operating. You trust Him. You walk by faith. You love people because God is love and He commands us to be like Him. If you will do that, walk in faith, walk in love, walk in hope. He says, faith, hope, and love, these three. If you will do that, you're going to be allowing the kingdom of God, God's dominion, to be operational, the dominion of the king, operational in your life. Then you won't need to worry. You won't need to have anxiety over your work or your home or your children or anything. You just keep pursuing God's kingdom, His dominion, operating in every area of your life. Then God Himself will add to you the things that you need because He sees where your focus is. Your focus isn't trying to get everything yourself, by yourself, in your own strength. God will see that you've allowed His kingdom to be first place in your life. And to you, He will add everything that you need. This is His way. And yet so many people feel like they have to strive in their own flesh to do everything themselves. And then they only end up exhausted, burnt out, worried, and filled with fear. And that is not God's desire for your life. I love what the great missionary Hudson Taylor, who was the founder of the China Inland Mission in the 1800s, this man gave such excellent advice. He said these words, "Let us give up our work, our plans, ourselves, our lives, our loved ones, our influence, our all, right into God's hands. And then, when we have given over all to Him, there will be nothing left for us to be troubled about. And that is the same advice that Jesus gave us. Don't worry about your life, but seek His kingdom, and these things that you need will be added to you, for your Father knows that you need them. God bless you and give you a victorious week.